Good morning. Yeah. It's a wonderful day. Today, down when I woke up and I walked out to the car this morning, it was nice and sunny, and I drove up here and it changed. What is that about? Anyways, Randy, are you around? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that we get to have this day and to walk in it and to bless the people around us in it, our families and friends, our neighbors, all that. So this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. It's something that we should always do day after day. And sometimes we have to do it even in our pain and suffering to keep us focused on what we really need to be focused upon. The one who has, you know, I think a lot of times, I think we were talking Friday night on our life group, and a lot of times we just see the world and it gets so big around us. It's everything about the world and what we can do in it. But you know what? There's something much more wonderful and longer lasting for eternity beyond this world. And we really have to set our eyes on that as well, to keep us going, to keep us moving forward, to have that hope that drives us through those storms. And even in the good times, when everything, we're on top of the mountain, you know, we need to be reminded, it's more than this. There's eternity for us. It's just, where are we going to spend eternity, right? I don't know about you. Have you ever walked around on a street or been out in an area and then there all of a sudden a big crowd just started gathering and people going, you know, it just starts, you know, people going, hey, you know, you don't even know what's going on, you know, and stuff like that. Well, I grew up in Southern California and not too far from Hollywood. And it's so funny. I wasn't really a celebrity chaser, right? And stuff like that. I went down to Hollywood. I walked amongst the Walk of Stars and went to the Hard Rock Cafe and all these other things. But either I didn't really. There might have been celebrities walking past me. I just didn't notice them. Now, if it was Clint Eastwood, I would have went, "Oh, hey, you know, like, hey, make my day," you know, type thing. But other than that, I didn't do that right. I have to work on that one, don't I? Yeah. But other than that, I think I met one popular news guy once, and that was about it. So, you know, so that didn't really happen around me. But in Thailand, and the big city of Bangkok, which was 10 million plus, and if you drove in Bangkok, you know, you don't really drive. You just kind of go forward a little bit and forward a little bit and forward. You can go 2 hours. It will take you 2 hours to go 1 mile sometimes. No, I'm not kidding. And we had to have A, B, and C, and D plans going through little narrow alleyways to try to beat some of that. Because my hair was turning grayer, gray back then. I think it turned back to nice and brown, didn't it? Since I've been here. But so when royalty, you see, they have a king. When royalty comes and they need to go from one spot to another, well, they shut it all down. And this would be a big plan. They'll shut it down hours beforehand. They'll block off roads. Nobody can go anywhere. And they have a lot of footbridges because they have big roads and stuff like that. And they have cops everywhere. And they won't allow you even on the footbridges. And everybody's kind of going, well, who's coming? You know, is it the king or is it one of the princes or the princess, you know, or whatever, you know? It's just, you know, the emotion, you can feel the emotion sometimes in that crowd and they're just kind of go, ah, you know, and all of a sudden like, these cars, they're just caravan of cars, usually black, zip. I mean, they're not going little putt-putt. They are moving through that, and I'm sitting there going, wow, you can go that fast in Bangkok. You know, how blessed they are, you know. But that, you know, that energy in the crowd was there, the high emotion, you know, somebody big is coming. And that's what was happening here, you know, because before Jesus got on that colt of that little, that donkey and started riding in, you know, he rose a guy from the dead named Lazarus. And that news entered, you know, was brought to Jerusalem. And also there's a couple blind men saying, you know, shouting out just before he got in there and on that donkey, they're going, hey, son of David, have mercy on us. And they may as well just said, Messiah. Messiah. King. Because that's what Son of David meant back then. So the energy was flowing. It was like an emotional powder keg going on there, because there are some people going, the king's coming. All right. Freedom. This is what we've been waiting for. The Messiah's coming. Woo. Just like that, you know. And then other people are going, oh, why are they saying that about him? No. You know, they're, oh, blasphemy. So you have this emotional powder keg just ready to be set off. Interesting, isn't it? Very interesting. But Jesus is different. He's different. He challenges us in many ways. He's coming to awaken a city who has been spiritually blind and dead for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. Amazing. How is he going to do that? We're going to find out. Let's pray before we can continue on. Lord, this is your word. And Lord, if it's my words, then it falls flat, has no power in it. So Father, I just ask that your Holy Spirit will speak through me in a way that it will go out in power, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction, teaching us, changing us, opening our hearts to the truth of who you are. Bless this time, I pray. And may you receive all the glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And so the crowd says, who is this? Right there in verse 10. Who is this? Yeah, that's a good question. Who is this? Well, he's going to uncover the mystery. So what does he do at first? He comes in on a big old horse and with a powerful big spear and a crown on his head, and he has a huge army behind him of guys that are at least 6'5", 300 pounds. Right? Coming in. Get out of the way. You know, like the football teams that bust through those signs to begin at their games, right? Get out of our way. This is what we're going to do to our opponents. They're dead. Meat, right? But no. See, Jesus is coming in like, oh, give me a little donkey. Wait, don't give me just a little donkey. Give me a colt of a donkey that's never been ridden. Well, we know in the past, you know, like King David and others, they rode on donkeys, you know, and, you know, that's something king, but I don't know if they ever been ridden on a colt of a donkey. So he's coming in gently, with a gentle spirit, humble. See, he's bringing a kingdom in at this time that is so different from what they were expecting. They wanted it all right then and there. Now, in the future, yes, the King of Kings coming back, just like what Sam read there in Revelation, but this is a different dispensation. This, we are still living in the same dispensation, the same time of grace and mercy abounding. We're living in that right now. And he's bringing that into Jerusalem. A new thing. A thing that they didn't even expect. You know, here's this king. Oops, you know, if I turned it on, it will work. Right? Here's this king coming in. But he's bringing things that are just totally reversed from what all those people have seen before. A king that is actually a servant. A king that is willing to suffer for them. Never been heard of before. Never been seen. A king That sets up a kingdom where the first becomes last and the last become first. A king that brings in a kingdom that expands beyond the Jewish race and includes all nations. He's bringing in a whole new thing. No wonder why they're going, who is this? You know, what's going on? Stirring things up, you know? What are we going to do with this guy? We just don't understand him. So he comes in. And first of all, you know, people say, well, how is he coming in? And if you're in the crowd, you're going to hear some things, okay? You're going to hear and see some things. In the crowd, if you're part of that crowd, you're going to hear him use scripture, prophecy. See, he did that in the desert, didn't he? After his baptism, where the enemy was tempting him to fall, right? He wanted Jesus to get off track, so he didn't do what he was supposed to, you know, the plan was, the salvation plan was, going to the cross. But Jesus used scripture back then to rebuke the enemy. And now he's using it to open the eyes of the people to reveal this mystery to them, who he is. And then we're also in the crowd, you're going to see things happening. Things happening there that you just didn't expect. And so one of them is that he's coming in on this colt. And with this ragtag of people putting down branches and cloaks and stuff like that. And they're, you know, shouting out, you know, oh, you know, Hosanna, Hosanna. There Jesus says, you know, the writer of this, Matthew, and God speaking through him, he's using the words from a guy named Zechariah, a prophet from hundreds of years before. And this is, I'm going to read that from Zechariah 9:9, chapter 9, verse 9, says this, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your kingdom comes to you." Your king, I'm sorry. "See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." It's right there. You know, Jesus is following the script that God the Father just wrote up. You know, he just wrote the script. He gave it to his son, just like what Nolan's getting ready for VBS. He's going to help with this script that they're going to use. Well, he's given this to Jesus, and he's going to follow that to the T. Because this word goes out and reminds them there is God. Well, why is he quoting Zechariah? Because he's revealing who he is to them. And if you've read more in Zechariah, you know he's revealing the Messiah to the people. And as it goes on, the crowds are going wild, right? And they're yelling out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." You know, they might as well just be saying, save us, King David. Save us from these Roman pagans. Save us from all this oppression. Save us from living without a sovereign way, you know, just having our own nation again. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We praise you, God, Father, in highest, for your son. You sent the Messiah. The king is coming." So now it starts getting clearer, doesn't it, who this guy is. I mean, you have to be deaf to not know what they're saying. You know, they're just saying, hey, here he is. Here's our Messiah we've been waiting for since those days of, since the garden. When God cursed the ground and cursed everything. But he also said that there will be someone who born of woman, who will crush the head of the snake. The heel, his heel will be bruised, but he will crush the head of the snake, which is serpent, which is the devil. So since then, book of Genesis from the very beginning where sin started, till now. Who is this king? As he rides in. See, he knows what's been going on. See, he rebukes. You know, if you read on in Matthew and you go into chapter 23, he gives these seven woes to the Pharisees, to the teachers of the law, because these are people who are hypocrites. They're not following what they're teaching. It's just they're taking advantage of everybody. And they're also the blind leading the blind. They're not revealing the truth to the people who Jesus is, who this Messiah will be like. So they had no clue. You know, there's that veil we talk about in front of their eyes, in front of their hearts. They just can't quite understand because of this. And Jesus, you could see Jesus' heart as he's riding towards Jerusalem, says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Can you see that picture? You know, you've seen the chicks, right? The chicken, the hens, and the chicks are around. You, and Nancy would know that. So Calvin, so they just put out their wings and they fold under, and the chicks are very safe there, aren't they? That's what he wants to do. That's his heart. But you know what those chicks do? They're unwilling. They start zipping out and they're going somewhere else. Going off to some other areas, maybe not so safe, right? And his heart is seen also in this passage here in Luke. It says, Jesus wept. He's weeping when he's coming over Jerusalem. He said, even if you had only known this day, what would bring you peace? Isn't it? Everybody's always talking about peace. We want world peace. I want peace. Give me peace. Well, only if you know. But now it is hidden from your eyes because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. That's his heart. He's coming on a little foal for a reason. He's given everybody an opportunity to receive salvation. Who is this king? We're not willing to let him in. Who is this king that we don't recognize him? Well, how about you? Who's your king? Because we all have a king. And maybe it's yourself. Maybe it's something in this world that has hold of you and stuff like that, that has every thought in your mind pretty much, your goal. That's your king. So the challenge is for each one of us is to ask ourselves, who is my king? And if it's not this one riding on a little colt, then you have an issue. And you need to get it right. Because here's this one who will give us peace. Peace that not this world gives, but peace the only way he can give. And it's a peace that lasts forever. See, who is this king? He's the one stirring hearts. To recognize him, you know, to uncover the mystery. You know, here comes the Prince of Peace. Shalom, right? The Prince of Peace coming and our Savior. Little do we know, or little do they know, that this is part of what he's doing. And then later on, as he's coming, he comes into Jerusalem, and what does he do? Well, it says there in verse 12, he enters the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there, because they weren't supposed to be doing that stuff in that area. They're supposed to be doing that outside of courts, all right? But they're taking advantage of that, making a business out of it, selling things for people to, you know, they'd come and do their peace offerings or thank offerings to the Lord, or burnt offerings, whatever they are bringing in, they buy it from those people. And so they had all these animals and stuff like that so they can buy it. But it was just like a little zoo. And they're making money out of it. And, you know, who started that? I don't know. I don't know who started it, but they got off task, really. They got off task. They forgot the purpose of the house of God. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. So he was not very happy. He was cleaning it out. And he says these words, "It is written." Oops, too far. I'll read this verse. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." See, they lost their focus. They lost what God gave their ancestor, Abraham, a promise, and that he was going to use his life and his descendants to bring this good news, these blessings, not just to their own people, but to all nations. And they are to honor God. And here in Isaiah, he makes it even more clear. It says, their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, not just for the Jewish nation. It was for all nations. And that there was talking, if you read before that, they're talking about people who are disabled in some way, people who are foreigners. So their burnt offerings are going to be acceptable too. Because this is this dispensation of grace and mercy to bring everybody in under those wings of that hen. Not one to escape and go off into a dangerous area without him. He's gathering his chicks, right? And then Jeremiah, see, Jesus is using the words of Jeremiah that God gave him. You know, has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? But I've been watching, declares the Lord. So he's just following this because everybody knows it's happening. They forgot their purpose. And even when we forget our purpose, then we start forgetting who God is and who we are before God and who we are in God. Right? We forget about that. The call that he has put upon our hearts. If you read Malachi, which is the book just before Matthew, prophet there, talking about how we cheat God. See, sometimes we just don't bring him our best. He's given us all these skills and abilities and even spiritual gifts to use in a church. You know, people ask, well, why should I go to church? Well, one big reason is that we are a body in Christ. We support one another. And when we are together and we are supporting and encouraging, we are growing and strengthening one another. Right? If somebody is hurting in a church, we hurt with them. But they're not alone hurting. So one of the big reasons we get together is for that. And to grow in the grace and knowledge of God together as well. For a spirit to move amongst us and do wonderful things in our lives. But sometimes we cheat God out of that. We do it on our own. We don't use the things he gives us. You know, like as Steve was praying about the offering, you know, sometimes we don't give him our best. We don't give of our our finances. You know, we're, I'll keep this, something like that, I don't want to build God's kingdom. But that's what it's for. It's being a part of this kingdom building. Your skills, your abilities, your personality that he's given you to be able to relate to others, the things that you've been through in your life to be able to comfort others and to encourage others. All that's in play in the body of Christ. And all that is one of the purpose he sets us. He gives each one of us that purpose to move forward. And that one of the main purposes you find in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We are to be his witnesses. His witnesses to the world. To those right here in our own family, to our community, to our nation, to the countries around the world. We are to be his witness. And that is a purpose that he has for us, a call for us to be. But we lost that because the world just encroaches into our lives and causes us to start thinking about those things and how I can get mine, how I can build my kingdom, how I could do this. Well, I tell you something, a lot of people say, what am I going to do? Because I need to work, okay, we need to work. And, some people who have families and stuff like that, your kids are playing sports or doing other extracurricular activities, so that you want to watch them. And I say, good, praise the Lord. Because the church isn't just this here. The church goes with you out there. So when you're amongst in a baseball field, softball field, soccer fields, in the schools or wherever you are with your families and stuff like that, you're bringing a church there. Remember that. You're a representative of Christ, and you don't have to be silent. You don't have to be silent. You can pray. You can show love and care to people. You can listen to them. You can even look for opportunities to share your story, to be a witness of Christ to them. So, some people go, I can't make it to, this or that. I'm going, if you're serving God out there, praise the Lord. Use those opportunities to impact lives around you as well, wherever you are. And then we'll come back together here and praise the Lord together, right? Share the good things that he is doing amongst us in and through our lives. So who is this king? He's the one cleansing hearts to fill the true purposes in our lives, right? To be his witness. So what is he doing? What is he for people who are following Christ right now, he's knocking at little doors in our hearts, and he's saying, I want in. I want to clean this out. Open up. And a lot of times, no, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to give that up yet. I like to watch my Dallas Cowboys whoop people. Right? If I put that up as an idol, something that takes away from visiting others or praying for others or, doing things that will build God's kingdom. So we have to open those little doors, allow him in and cleanse our hearts and to get us back on his path, his purpose for our lives so we can build his kingdom. And then from the lips of children, I just love this. There it says there in 15, says, but when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were happy. What? Nancy, what? They weren't happy, were they? They were indignant. What? Ooh, how dare you? The little guys, our little kids running around. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. I'd be going, what? What? Shut up. That's what I'd say. Shut up. You don't know what you're saying. Speaking fast, blasphemy. Don't do that. Don't. See, they did that before too. They were, you know, on the road there, you know, to some Pharisees, you know, the crowd was going wild, putting down those branches, and, you know, just, Hosanna, Hosanna, to kill. Glory to God, yes, in the highest, and say, you know, say, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus says, he says, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. So what do you want me to do? You want to hear the stones? Yeah, well, here's some stones. Wouldn't that be a magnificent day, the creation, when everything is made new? There's going to be a singing and a praising, all creation, unto the Lord. All creation. And so, Jesus points them to Psalm 8, right? He says, do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him, he says, yes. He replied, have you never read? Hello, you guys are supposed to be in the Word. Have you never read? From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise. See, he likes to use those weak things, the lowly things, and the things that are not to make fools of the people who think they're all high and mighty and wise, right? See, he's setting them. When you exalt yourself, what are you going to do? You're going to actually fall, right? You're going to get humbled. And those who humble themselves, like Jesus on that foal, are going to be exalted in God's time. And that's what's happening here. And these guys are going, oh, no, you know. And, but what do you do with kids? I mean, you know, they're just, you can't stop them. They don't listen to adults, even today, I don't think. Is that right? So who is this king? This king, he is the one who will be exalted and, you know, with praise forever and ever. See, it doesn't stop when our lives stop here. No, that's just the beginning of the praise. So this is kind of like a practice. You know, if you've ever been in a choir or orchestra or things like that, or baseball, football, whatever, there's practice, right? You got to practice things, right? Wrestling, you got to practice. Well, we're practicing right now how to praise God, how to exalt him in our lives. And if we're not doing that, boy, when we get to heaven and praises start going up there, we'll be going, oh, I'm a little bit rusty here. I can't sing like you. No, this is our time to praise. See, a question I have is, you know, who are you praising? Right now, who are you praising? And we're praising somebody, right? A lot of us are praising some person, or, you know, praising this person, praising that team, or, you know, oh, this guy's such a great singer, oh, like that, falling all over the place, you know? Yeah. So who are you praising? And another question, maybe even more challenging, is why aren't you praising? Who silenced your praise of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Who is silencing that? And break out of that. Because now it has been revealed to our eyes who this guy is, coming in on a donkey, little colt. He is that King of Kings and Lord of Lords, written on his thigh, on that powerful horse, and coming back again. See, we need this one that stirs our hearts and gets us awake again and shows us who he is, you know, the Prince of Peace, our Savior. Yeah, we need that cleansing. Yeah, it hurts to give up the old things that we're so comfy with, right? Yeah, but we got to release that, allow him to cleanse us and change us even more, and to use our lives to be a blessing to others, to be a witness for him. Even if we're weak. And he's the one that's going to be exalted forever, and we're going to be a part of that. One day, we're going to be a part of that forever and ever. And so, to be reminded of that and challenged and encouraged and all that, we don't want to be a part of this, okay? Because when he comes back, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn. Well, we don't want to be mourners, Okay, and this time when he's coming back, we want to be going, yeah, Hosanna. Bring him on. My king is coming. But others will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So do not be a part of that. And you know what? This is your encouragement and exhortation to start praying for the people around you who don't know Christ yet as their king. Pray for them because you don't want them to be in this position. You want them to join with you and the family of God to be able to worship and praise this King of Kings who has all these good things waiting for us beyond this life. Beyond this life. So when that crowd is stirring and you're wondering what's going on and people go, well, who is this? Well, you know what? Remind them of a truth. You know, this guy, oh yeah. But there's, you know what? I know somebody even greater than this guy. Let me share with you who this person is, has changed my life and who I praise and who I allow to change my life and who is my Savior and my King. Let's pray. Father God, your word is powerful and wonderful. It is that double-edged sword that cuts to the depths and it reveals things of our thoughts and things, our intentions of our hearts. Thank you for that, Father. We help us not to be like the sleepy people of Jerusalem who are just held in blindness and in a veil of just religion, of doing things the way they used to. But their hearts weren't open to receive the truth that was coming right at them. The truth coming right at them. Father God, may we be those who receive that King, receive that truth, and go forth with it and to be a witness of it to others, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he did die for us, for all of our sins. He died in our place because we should be dying for our own sin. And not only did he do that, but he rose again on the third day because the grave couldn't hold him. And then he ascended into heaven. And before that, he gave the commission to his church, to his people, to go and make disciples of all nations, to be my witnesses amongst all nations, everybody. And then I will come back. As Jesus was taken up before their very eyes, they were reminded that he will be coming back in the same way with this awesome glory and power to make all things new. So may we be these witnesses of this, and may we be filled with praise and thanksgiving, and may we open our hearts to this Lord, our God, to cleanse us and change us even more, that we can be even more useful, more on task to honor his name. So praise you for this time together. And may you be glorified in it. Pray this in Jesus Christ's name. And all of his people say, amen. Amen.